how much did you learn with mini camp and as far as the Tennessee Titans? Because not much, yeah, really.
There's not a ton to sort of glean from, you know, shorts and no contact. But you know, that being said, there are some things that we could pick up on. You know, for example, Harold Landry is about at least 5 pounds bigger, and that's all muscle. And we, that's something we can tell just being out there and seeing him practice. And also, he just kind of seems more confident, seems more relaxed with the media. And he's a guy that, you know, I've been saying is probably going to be the most important piece of that defense this upcoming season, just with, you know, the Titans needing to do or have a bigger impact as far as attacking the quarterback. He's obviously going to be a really big part of that heading into year two. So there are things like that we can tell. You know, we see Arthur Smith out there, first-time offensive coordinator. Obviously, we don't really we won't know what to expect from him as far as play calling until, you know, the preseason rolls around. But there are some things that we could pick up on. But, you know, we'll really learn a lot more about a month from now when training camp opens up.
If I said right now, all right, in December, key game, and, oh, Marcus Mariota cannot start, so Ryan Tannehill gets the call, where's your confidence level this year with those words compared to what the Titans faced last year in 2018?
It's much, much higher. You know, when you compare what they had last year with Blaine Gabbert versus Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill, you know, has 88 career games under his belt, and he's been a starter in all of them. You know, a losing record, but he's a guy that, you know, by all accounts has a case for being one of the strongest backup quarterbacks in the game right now. So, you know, I think that confidence level certainly is greater than it was this time, or, you know, let's say it's December. It'll be a lot higher this December than last December when you had Blaine Gabbert coming in, and, you know, you kind of feel defeated just with the news that Mariota is not starting. I don't think that you kind of feel that notion, you know, should he go down this December, and it's another situation where the season is on the line or it's just a really important game, and that could be the case with, you know, how many divisional games they have toward the end of their season. So it's kind of the ultimate safety net just to have Ryan Tannehill, you know, back behind Mariota this season.
Eric Bacharach joining us again. Go back. I know it's been a while, but go back to your college days. Did you ever have to take any economics courses?
Unfortunately, yeah.
All right, so I bring this up. I had to take way too many because I got my undergrad, I got my MBA. But I bring it up because one of the things that I always hated, because in life there's nothing can be held constant, but economists always they want to hold certain things constant. With that constant, then if this goes up or this shifts over, then what happens? So if you look at the Tennessee Titans and all the things they did in the offseason, when you look at the draft, the additions, subtractions, whatever, you know, thumbs up. But here's the thing. This is where you throw, you know, economics out the window as far as holding things constant, because guess what? Indianapolis did not remain constant. Houston Texans did not remain constant. The Jacksonville Jaguars did not do so. And that's just the AFC South alone. So it's nice that we talk about a change team moving forward as far as 2019 with the Titans. But in the end, we don't know necessarily what that will mean until we get going.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's important, and, you know, important thing to remember for Titans fans. You know, on paper, I certainly think the Titans got a lot better just by addressing, you know, a couple of really key areas. But then you look around at the division, and the rest of the division did too. And, you know, I certainly think that the Colts are still the team to beat, you know, just with the way they finished last year. The Texans are going to be another tough team, and you know, I think they're capable of repeating as division champs. And then you've got the Jaguars, who now have Nick Foles. So you pair that with a good defense, if Fournette could stay healthy. You know, it's a tough division. It's another dogfight. And the crazy thing is, you know, you look at sort of the conversation going into last year, and it was kind of who's going to come out on top. Is it going to be the Titans, Texans, or Jaguars at the end of the season? It's really the Colts that kind of proved to be the team to beat in this division, and nobody was talking about them, you know, this time last year as that being the case. So I do think it's going to be another dogfight, and like I mentioned before, the Titans I think it's four division games of their last six games on the schedule. So, you know, that second half of November and December is going to be crucial as far as, you know, what happens after that as far as the postseason goes. So the Titans are going to need to stay healthy. And, you know, like you mentioned, they did do, you know, a few good things to bolster their roster, but so did the rest of the division. So I think it's going to be tough.
You know, one of the things that I'm glad that when we look at the Indianapolis Colts, there's just parts of me that just really truly believes they could have done so much more with the money that they had to work with. Instead, and I'm glad that they have this because, you know, we're talking about Chris Ballard, the GM. He has a lot of confidence in his ability. He believes that he's smarter than anybody else as far as GMs that are out there in the NFL. And that he can draft better, make better moves as far as personnel. He doesn't have to overspend to get the Colts where they need to be. And personally, I hope that bites him in the rear.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, again, I kind of thought that too, especially going into the offseason, they were definitely top five as far as money they had to spend. So we'll see if that comes back to bite them. You know, we just know for the Titans, Andrew Luck has had their number forever. And so, you know, the first time they play is going to be an especially interesting game because that's at Nissan Stadium, week two, that's September 15th. And that's, of course, the game that, you know, the Titans are going to officially retire Steve McNair and Eddie George's number. So, you know, if there's a time to sort of, you know, break that streak of Andrew Luck just, having the Titans number, that would be the game to do it. And as you mentioned, you know, they did get better, the Colts, but just going into the offseason, you were kind of just looking at the space they had and what they had done that past season. You were thinking, you know, holy cow, how much better are they going to get? And, you know, I still think they're for sure within striking distance of you, the Titans. Again, it's just when you look at them head-to-head, you just really got to get that one against Andrew Luck. You got to get over the hump as far as finally getting a win against him.
Eric Bacharach with the Tennessean joining us again. Look, if I'm a fan of Houston, if I'm a fan of Jacksonville, I would have major concerns, you know, especially with the Jaguars. You know, we've talked about this before where there's a lot of craziness going on there, and I think it starts at the top and works its way down into that locker room. Well, now we're seeing signs, obviously, in this offseason that Houston faces the same thing. If you're a fan of the Colts and the Titans, you know, more power to both of those organizations. I wonder if it will have an effect as far as the actual product on the field in the upcoming games in the fall.
Yeah, I mean, we saw it last year with the Jaguars. Just sort of had all their internal problems really led to disarray. And, you know, I think they gave up in that Titans game when Derrick Henry ran you know, crazy for 238 yards. I think toward the end of the year, they had just given up. And it's kind of crazy to see, given the expectations for the Jaguars heading into the year. They were, you know, a lot of people's pick to be, you know, in the Super Bowl. And those internal problems kind of just ballooned and trickled all the way down, and the locker room was a mess. And it kind of just all blew up. So, yeah, if you're the Colts, Titans, you're rooting for chaos. And right now, that's what you're getting out of Houston and Jacksonville. So we've seen how that can affect things. We'll see if, you know, going into this season, they can clean those up.
Well, and that's just like the other part, too. It's one thing if you're the Cleveland Browns and you believe in yourselves, but because you haven't been relevant in recent years, and here's a franchise, one of those franchises that have never made it to a Super Bowl. It's one thing to ease into a season and then shock the NFL world.
Right.
They don't have that luxury. You know, they've already have a target on their back, and they haven't accomplished anything yet. You know, nice moves, you know, nice additions as far as personnel. Has this mean anything as far as added W's yet for 2019? No. I think it's great for all the other teams in the AFC, knowing you've got a Cleveland team. It's tough to live up to expectations when you haven't really done anything yet.
Yeah, it's kind of a bizarre just phenomenon to be, you know, as hyped up as they are without having done much. And, you know, it's obviously not unfounded. They added a few really big names in the offseason. But like if you're the Titans going into week one, that's, to me, that's probably a good thing, just that all the hype is on them. And, you know, it's their home opener and everybody's excited to see the Cleveland Browns this season. You know, if you're the Titans, you kind of go in there and it's a really good chance to shock some people in a good way. And obviously it's kind of just interesting because it is the Browns, and, you know, for so long they've been synonymous with struggling and losing, and you know, especially the past decade. So it's an interesting sort of scenario for the Titans to be walking into week one, you know, when the spotlight is going to be squarely on the Browns. It's just a it's an interesting opportunity for the Titans.
I don't know if you've really delved into the 2019 schedule for Tennessee. I have one game circled, and I was talking about this earlier this week because it's a game where it's, both teams I really feel like are going to be in the same position, and it's the first weekend of November when the Tennessee Titans travel to take on Carolina. Because for the Titans, you know, this is, you know, at that point you could be 5-3, 6-2, 4-4, or 3-5. But the bottom line is there's a 1-2 punch, because for the Titans you travel to Carolina, and then the very next week you play host to Kansas City, whereas Carolina, they play host to the Titans, and then they travel to take on the Green Bay Packers. I think that's going to be a key weekend. When I started breaking down who the Titans will play up until that point, to me, that's going to be the make or break part of the schedule with regards to what the Titans are going to be this year.
I actually completely agree, Johnny. I've been looking at the schedule. I think that's a really important game. You know, on the road, it's one of those that could go either way. Carolina could be good, and you know, I think it's going to be a tough game. But looking at where the schedule goes from there, I think it really is important because, you know, as you mentioned, they play the Chiefs at home the week after, and then, like I mentioned before, it's four out of the six remaining games are against AFC South opponents, and then the other two, one of them is home to the Saints, which is obviously going to be a tough game, and then you know, another one is in Oakland against the Raiders. So, you know, that's a long trip. Be interesting to see, you know, what the Raiders put out on the field this upcoming season. Hard to say one way or the other right now. But yeah, I think that Carolina game, you know, you win that, you get some momentum, maybe you pull off, you know, a win akin to, you know, beating the Patriots or Eagles last year when the Chiefs come in on November 10th. And then you really got to take care of business against the AFC South opponents. So I think that could really be sort of a springboard, or, you know, if they lose that game, that could really halt momentum. And then you kind of start thinking, oh man, we've got we still have the Saints, the Chiefs, you know, we got the Colts, the Texans twice toward the end of the year. So I do think that could be a really pivotal week for just sort of the way the schedule shakes out for the Titans.
And by the way, you know, after you get your schedules all put together, can somebody out there do some last second maneuvering around? Because I think this is absolutely ridiculous that we get down to the final three games of the season for the Titans, and they host Houston, they host the Texans on December 15th. Very next week, they host the New Orleans Saints. And then what do they do the following week? They go back to Houston. So you get the Houston Texans two out of your last three games. That makes every bit of sense in the world to me. I mean, can you not? I mean, come on. We're talking about look, when you run that in the, you know how some video games you can run a complete season, and if you don't like the outcome, you can do it again. This is one of those times where this isn't going to work. Let's just try that again. Let the computers have all the information. Let's just rerun that and see if we can get a better schedule.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of dread this scenario, you know, toward the end of the year if you're going into the postseason and you've got to play one team, you know, within a 2 or 3 week span twice. And you know, in the regular season, the Titans have to do it. So it's not ideal by any means. I agree. I think it's not a great situation for the Titans. And then, you know, sandwiched in between those two games is the game against the Saints. So for them, you know, nothing they could do about it now. But I agree. It's kind of wacky. I can't remember seeing a schedule work out like this before, and just not ideal.